Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 255. It's a Fab preview episode, week 15 Fab, coming your way tonight. Schedules and much, much more to get you ready for this weekend's Fab action. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And as always, my co-host on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, my friend?
Pretty good tonight. Didn't get hit by a pitch in the wrist like seemingly the rest of Major League Baseball has the last 2 days. But doing well. Big win for Virginia Tech in my online NCAA dynasty right before we started recording. So we are feeling good over here.
Yeah, no, you're just living the dream. We log in and get diverse. How you doing? I just got done beating a big rivalry game on NCAA, and I'm like, I thought you just turned 40, but we're still rolling on that.
The guy plays about my age too. It's not like I'm beating up on a 19-year-old or something.
Nice. Well, good for you. Hope everybody's enjoying themselves out there. It's the summertime. It's been hot as heck. So I hope you're all getting after it, having fun. Got the 4th of July coming up next weekend, so that'll be a lot more fun for people to go. People are traveling and doing things and hopefully watching baseball and the home run derbies we've been seeing around baseball with this hot weather. But to your point, a lot of injuries. We talked about most of them this past week, so not a lot of real news. We'll cover most of the day-to-day comebacks, all that stuff throughout the Fab preview per usual. A couple things that took place on Thursday, though, Ryan. Griffin Canning left his start after the game. The Mets said it's an Achilles injury. Obviously, they did not stay tear just yet, but let's just piece that one together real quick. Blade Tidwell has made a couple spot starts from AAA. Brandon Sproat's a popular name out there. Jonah Tong is a popular name out there. Well, we obviously have to wait for the diagnosis, but what's your thoughts here?
Right, got to wait. There was some discussion in our Discord with, I know you and Martin Sokolsky on Bench with Bubba talked about Tong earlier this week. But Gerard, who's one of our newer folks over on the Discord, was bringing up, kind of made a pretty good case too about Nolan McLean, who might be the heir if this is something serious for Griffin Canning. McLean is, I would say, somewhat ready. He's thrown 43 innings in AAA this year. Skills honestly haven't been that great. 12% K minus walk in AAA. Big ground ball guy, so you like that. I don't know if the Mets are ready to call up Tong yet. I don't know much about Tong. Like, the numbers are insane in AA, but the long-term projection is awesome. But are you going to call up a 20-year-old right now? Maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. AA, 20 years old. They have other options, and they might even make some trades. So I'm not thinking they're going to run out to do that just yet. But hey, you never know.
Do you really want to call up a pitcher's last name rhymes with Dong as a pitcher? I don't know, man. I mean, it's not like that's going to change in future years, but still.
From my sarcastic Twitter brain, yes, I do want them to call up a picture that rhymes with Dong. So, yeah, we can go that route if you so choose. Other bits of news we have here is Mitch Garver. He left the game on Thursday after taking a foul ball to the chin. It was just inside of the mask. So, if he's wearing a hockey mask, maybe he's okay. He was not. So, got one inside the chin. Harry Ford was pulled from the AAA game. He's on his way to join the Mariners in case he's on the taxi squad, as they say, in case they need to replace Mitch Garver. Any thoughts on this? Because I actually wrote about this exact scenario almost in the latest PT Tomorrow.
Yeah, it was a little dicey because Kyle Raleigh usually DHs on like getaway day games, and that was what this was. So Raleigh had to come in as from DH and play catcher, and they did not. The Mariners had nobody else if Kyle Raleigh got hurt. So that's why I guess Ford is on standby. Ford has like long been a very highly regarded prospect, had a really good year 2 years ago and then a down year last year. I'll actually just kind of quote what Martin said in our Discord. Again, the Discord, awesome information in there. But Martin says, once a highly touted prospect, had a down year at AA in 2024. Bad hitting environment. Previous year was in High Everett, which is one of the best hitter environments in all the minors. Good field to hit. One of four teenagers, 100-plus walks in 2023. Jackson Holliday was one of those. Nothing fancy, but athletic for a catcher. So you like the kind of all-around game that Harry Ford has. I just don't know. I think this would be just like an emergency situation. He still backs up Cal Raleigh. So I wouldn't get too excited in terms of like Fab going very hard at Harry Ford, because, and I say this all the time with other catcher call-ups, it's a lot to take in to try and manage a staff and get used to that while also adjusting to major league hitting. So I like Harry Ford long-term, have for a while, but not for right now, even if he gets the call.
Yeah, no, he's definitely going to be the backup to Cal Raleigh. The potential AL MVP is not leaving the gig. But like the scenario I was thinking is, you look at this Mariners roster, and offensively, they are kind of challenged in some spots. First base is opened up. DH can still be open if they want to. So there's room to play Raleigh even more and rest him from catching every day at DH. Yep. And then use Ford if he is an OBP guy, that can, because he can steal some bags and stuff, and that could be an upgrade. So there's an angle where he could, Harry Ford, that is, find his way to more at-bats than Mitch Garver, because Garver's just a sinkhole. Like, he's going to run into a few home runs, but he's going to hit 200 and do next to nothing else. So if Ford can actually get on base at like a 330 clip, 320 clip or whatever, steal some bags, well, there's some more viability there than Mitch Garver potentially for this Mariners team. And that would be obviously not an immediate thing, but maybe something that develops over time if it's a long-term situation. Like, if Garver has a broken jaw, then that's where that could go. But it might just be a, you know, minor situation. Time will tell on that one. All right, real quick though, Michael Chesko in the chat says, Manaea, is he getting close? Okay, this is coming out in the news and notes.
He is, right?
Friday. Yes, on Friday's news notes. I already wrote that up this evening. Manaea played catch on Thursday. So apparently the 48 to 72 hour window is up from the cortisone shot. And the Mets said he felt fine. Again, we'll see. And they're supposed to continue his rehab as usual and be back probably a little before the All-Star break. So as of now, he's close. He was closer before the shot.
And maybe the Griffin Canning news is like, well, we better hurry Manaea back. I don't know if that's how the Mets think, but
they probably do think that way, and that would be why he'd get hurt again, but yes. So, all right, that's all the news we got. Little bit of news here. Again, I'll throw my tidbits in throughout the episode as usual. But let's get to it, Ryan. Let's get to the schedule from the week that you're so prepared. You got it. Look at that.
No, not prepared. Not prepared at all. Where's that?
So I was like, I didn't see it, but we'll go team by team as usual. And we'll talk matchups and people available that we like to target. So what are you noticing when you look at our week 15 schedule upon us?
All right. Week 15, it will be the second to last full week before the All-Star break. As has been the case with every week except one this season, there are no 5-game weeks for anybody. Your 7-game weeks are the Yankees on the road all week, Toronto Blue Jays, Royals, Mariners get 7, D-backs get 7, Giants, your Giants get 7, all on the road as well. In terms of hitting environments, where are we looking at? The A's are split. They're 3 on the road at Tampa, then host your Giants. Where's Great American Small Park? We get 0 games. Reds are on the road all week. And Tampa Bay, we get 3 at home against the A's and then 3 on the road against the Twins. So a couple split weeks in some of those extreme parks.
Yeah, the A's have a good schedule. It's 3 at Tampa, 3 at home versus the Giants. So they get 2 good ballparks in their split at least, which is obviously a plus situation. And Arizona likely will have the roof closed, but if they somehow don't, then the Giants' schedule looks a lot better as well.
I never followed up on that, on your theory on the roof closing based on the starting pitcher.
Maybe when we're at FPAT, we could take a trip to the ballpark and ask people in person, how do you guys
determine uniforms? And the uniforms. I'm very skeptical of the uniform choice, but
Oregon pick
this? That will be a drunken debate around a fire pit at first pitch.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yes, it will. All right, let's get after it. Baltimore Orioles, 6 games this week, all on the road. 3 at Texas, 3 at the Braves. All right-handed pitching on tap for the O's to face this week. But it's an O's team that's kind of getting healthy, so we're seeing the usual suspects these days. I say healthy because Adley's out, so that's just done. But I mean, they got their Westbergs back. They got, you know, their standard players right now.
Right. Yeah, I don't have too much on the hitter side other than, I mean, Gary Sanchez has started five of the last six, seems to be playing pretty much regularly against lefty-righty, playing catcher DH, kind of flipping back and forth there. Sanchez much better against lefties than right-handed pitchers, and unfortunately for him, it's an all-righty week for the Orioles, so just kind of a second catcher filler. I can't believe I'm about to bring this guy up. In our good year 2025, I think you know, Bubba, where we're going with this, but Trevor Rogers coming off a very good start. His last time out gets not only should get a two-step, but it is against Texas and the Braves, who both struggle against lefties.
Yeah,
I'm still way too, like, that those wounds are too fresh for me to think about Trevor Rogers. But I would imagine in 15 teamers, get a two-step from someone who the velocity's back. The velocity's back up to like 94, which is what it was kind of pre-death for Trevor Rogers. I'm not saying it's the same guy that we saw back in 2021, but we are going to see Trevor Rogers be picked up in some leagues this weekend in 15s.
And 15s will probably be close to 100% rostered by the time, like, when Ben and I recap this next week, he'll be rostered everywhere and people will be puckered up for that one. So I get the concept. I'm staying far, far away. These teams are struggling versus lefties, though, to your point. They really, really are.
Right.
Now, is Trevor Rogers your average lefty? We'll see.
No.
To be fair, I am one that has pushed Patrick Corbin over and over again, so I'm probably not the man to ask this question to, but Trevor Rogers does not check any boxes of my interest right now. Other bit of Orioles situation I'll discuss is Tyler O'Neill is expected back sometime towards they're thinking Tuesday or Wednesday if rehab continues to go well. Again, he's had a setback, it seems, every time it seems to go well. So just wait and see on that one. And if he comes back, then does that affect Laureano? Who's it affect? That's another big question.
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, it would have to be Laureano, right?
It would seem so, yes.
Yeah, because Couser, at least against righties, is going to play regularly. Same with Mullins, and it's an all-righty week. So, yeah, if you're starting Ramon Laureano, maybe Fab with some plan Bs in the off chance Tyler O'Neill actually returns on time.
That is true. All right, the Boston Red Sox, they have six games this week. Three at home versus Cincy, three at the Nationals, one lefty, five righties. And my goodness, does this team suck without Devers in the lineup. Their offense is just in a tailspin right now. Now, they're talented enough to get out of it at some point in time, one would think, but it is brutal right now. Like, almost so much as after we talk players, we can talk about pitchers to stream against these guys.
Right. I mean, are they talented enough to get out of it? Because I don't know, at least for this year, I don't know if they are.
Well, there's the caveat. Is it this? Like, Jared Duran's talented. Like, maybe Roman Anthony needs another year. Maybe Marcelo Meyer needs another year. Like, that's the problem, is they're talented. Will it happen soon enough is the big question. And I don't know if it will.
Right. So yeah, this is suddenly a lineup. It's not a stream against type lineup, but it does not scare me at all. So I don't know. I don't have too much on the Red Sox. Abraham Toro is predictably cooling, to kind of go along with our theme of this lineup. I think David Hamilton's a good stream this week. It's a strong side platoon for him if you need steals at second base. But with five righties, David Hamilton isn't a bad speed option. Do you have anything else? Because I was bringing up one other guy, but not an ad.
No, not really. Like, the Red Sox just don't do it for me. I was more looking at, we'll talk Chase Burns with the Reds, but this makes him look even better for the week. Soroka, some people might have given up on Soroka. I think he's live. He's lively this week.
Same. I think the skills for Soroka look pretty good, and I'd roll with him. The guy I was going to bring up, 79% owned in OCs, Walker Buehler. Ooh. Like, I think he's cooked, man. This is not the same guy. Like, I think, and maybe it's you don't get Gene Segura types of pitchers because their blowups are very noticeable. But that roster rate seems way too high for Walker Buehler. I don't know, man. It just, nothing looks good in the skills for him right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of pitchers we're going to mention that about in this episode. So there's been some real nasty skills being portrayed, but Buehler is near the top of that list. To your point, you definitely can move on from a Walker Buehler if you have not already. Well, you've suffered, but you can fix that now. All right, the New York Yankees, they have 7 games this week, 4 at the Jays, 4 at the Mets, a little rivalry action, Subway Series to wrap up the week. Bet that's on Sunday Night Baseball. All right-handed pitchers for the Bronx Bombers this week. Team that the playing time's been a bit of a pain in the butt these days.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, like, your Ben Rice and even Trent Grisham's hit a little bit better lately. Like, those guys are very strong plays. I want to talk about Paul Goldschmidt. Right. Yes, this is someone who is in NFBC 12 teamers. Goldie is 99% owned, 90% started. 90% started is Paul Goldschmidt. And he is a bench player right now. Like, he against righties, Goldschmidt has started one of the last 4 games for the Yankees. They get all righties this week. I don't see how you can start Paul Goldschmidt right now, at least for this week. I'm not saying drop him because, like, he's like pretty legitimately good. Like, he's hitting like 290, 8 homers, 5 steals. But
yeah, but like over the last, I think it was week or two since this Stanton's been back, he's sitting closer to 100 right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit of a cold stretch at the wrong time. But I was pretty shocked to see the start rate so high, 90%. I'm sure that'll probably go down in 12 teamers on Friday lineups. But if you have Goldschmidt, I'm not saying to drop, I'm just saying to look somewhere else at corner infield right now because he's not playing enough.
Stanton's still 33% in 12s. Are you still in on that guy? I've been avoiding it, but are you in on Stanton? Because the power is undeniable. That's very clear. They have a 7-game week, so he'll probably play 5 of the games, you'd imagine. Maybe,
but
and it's a friendly schedule.
It is a friendly schedule. It's 11.5 strikeout minus walk for the pitchers going against the Yankees. But I don't know. Stanton has like he has 1 barrel in 30 plate appearances. The strikeouts are Stantonian, we get used to. And Stanton is involved in this playing time shuffle. You're not getting 7 games. Like you said, 5 maybe, which I don't know. That doesn't really stand out to me.
That's fair. I really wish they just give up on Grisham and play Jason Dominguez. He's actually playing really well right now, but that's a whole other podcast for another day with him. Anything else when it comes to the Yanks? Because like Alan Wynans is filling in, but Marcus Stroman, like one more rehab start, he's back. Not saying to add him. I'm just saying he's back soon. Devin Williams has the first save of late for the Yankees, but Weaver's been getting plenty of leverage spots as well. So that's going to be a fluid situation, I believe.
Yeah, that was the last thing I was going to bring up was the Williams versus Weaver situation. I still think they're kind of co-closers, but Williams, did get the only save this past week for the Yankees. So hopefully that continues as a Devin Williams owner.
Yep, totally with you on that. All right, let's head to the Tampa Bay Rays. 3 games at home versus the A's. That should be a doozy, except they face the juggernaut known as Mr. Lopez. And then 3 at Minnesota. 2 lefties, 4 righties. The 2 lefties start the week for the A's. So they finish with 4 righties, 1 against the A's and 3 against Minnesota, if you want to play that type of game, because Tampa will play that type of game. So who do you like here in Tampa Bay?
I don't have too much. I mean, Chandler Simpson got called up right on Monday, I guess, and has started at center field each of the 3 games since he was called up, and there was a lefty and 2 righties in that mix. Still so it does
92%, which is impressive, people. They all
what's
people
that?
Held. He's still 92% people held. That's impressive.
That is impressive. So, yeah, not really actionable, I guess, from a Fab standpoint, but I don't know. I think that's about all I've got for the Rays. I mean, everyone keeps talking about Joe Boyle's stash. Dude. I just don't know when it's going to happen. Shane Boz is on the rebound. Yep. So I don't know. I don't know when the Joe Boyle thing's going to happen. But
that feels been great. It's whenever they want to give up on Taj Bradley is what it is.
That's even the Taj took like a perfect game into the 5th or 6th.
More like the Taj Mahal this time around. It was pretty crazy. Yeah.
Go figure. So I don't know, man. I can see the case for a Joe Boyle stash. I just don't see like it could continue to drag on.
Agreed. Toronto Blue Jays, they have 7 games this week, 4 at home versus the Yankees, 3 at home versus the Angels, 2 lefties and 5 righties, another kind of friendly schedule if you look at starting pitching, because right now they have Stroman actually pitching on Monday for the Yankees there. We shall see how that plays out. It's possible, but maybe later in the week. So 2 lefties, 5 righties. What do you like with Toronto?
I don't see much action. I mean, you can give your weekly Ernie Clement
I'm going speech 54% if you want. Slowly climbing up, 54%. So Yeah, I'm going to keep throwing him out there. Dude's hitting for average, scores a bunch of runs, steals a few bases, drives in some runs. Like,
there we go.
He doesn't hit a lot of homers, but he does everything else. So I'll keep saying Ernie Clement for that one.
Yeah. We talked about Andrés Giménez on the Tuesday show with the rest of season projections versus year to date results. I think we're both still bullish on Andrés Giménez. So I don't know if he's a pickup, but there's that.
77% rostered. So yeah, if he's out there, probably worth an ad for sure. What about the pitching side of things? Max Scherzer returned.
Yep.
Looked good one time through, kind of struggled, kind of expected, honestly. Eric Lauer's been really good out of his short stint, especially if they use an opener with him. Any interest in these arms?
A little bit Scherzer, though he's pretty much widely rostered, I think. Eric Lauer is, I think this is a two-step week for Lauer. Yeah, he goes to Boston on Sunday.
What are you looking at? Boston on Sunday, so it's not a two-step week then.
He's in a current two-step week.
Oh, like this my week. Bad. I thought you meant next week. I'm like, no, what are you looking at?
Yeah, gotcha. No. The week we're living in, he is a two-step. But this week we're talking about, I guess, yeah. The 4th of July, Eric Lauer gets the Angels, who suck against lefties. So Eric Lauer is a good, if you didn't pick him up for this current two-step, still a reasonable add next week against the Angels. So you've got that.
Eric Lauer, 7% rostered in OCs right now. So definitely something to keep an eye on for that one. All right, let's head to the Chicago White Sox. They are on the road this week. 3 at the Dodgers and then 3 in Coors for the 4th of July weekend. That's a beautiful looking deal there. 1 lefty, 5 righties, all righties in Coors Field. What do you like in here?
I like Benny Biceps. I think it's criminal that this guy is 30% in 12 teamers on NFBC.
I picked him up in a handful of leagues last week, so I'm 100% with you on that.
Same. Like, I mean, legitimately, the skills this year for Andrew Benintendi are like borderline elite in terms of K rate and barrel rate. That combination, there are not many guys in the big leagues who have that combination of strikeout rate and barrel rate for Andrew Benintendi. So hitting every day, third in this lineup, which it's starting to cool off again. I think we talked last week about the White Sox being like maybe passable, but they're still pretty bad. But yeah, I like Benintendi as a pickup, especially with Coors. 5-game righty week, you like that. I like in deep leagues, a bit more of a deep cut, but Lenin Sosa.
Dude, I'm so proud of you. That's where I was going to go. That's my like boy. Him? I had right, so
ahead.
Many yeah, shares.
Go ahead. I want to take your thunder. Go for
no,
it.
No, it's all good. He was my, I did a show with James Anderson just early in the preseason about one like late round DC guy from each team. Sosa was my dude. He's second base, third base. He's playing pretty much every day. He's got sneaky pop.
Yep.
Can hit like 260 in this lineup, especially going into Coors for 3. Sosa's an awesome stream. He's definitely in 50. He should be rostered. I actually have him rostered in 15s already. And he has some 12 team streamability this week. So, yes, Lenin Sosa, huge fan of this. He just got hurt earlier in the year, kind of derailed what I really was looking forward to.
Yeah, especially for that Colorado weekend. That's going to be
and he
good,
can run a little, too.
Yeah, kind of. So, you know, there's no real pitchers to stream against the White Sox. Yamamoto, Kershaw, May, May are all rostered, and then you don't want to go send Zatella Marquez or maybe Chase Dollander. I know at course. So you're not streaming against the White Sox next week.
Nope. It's a bad week to be facing the White Sox. Things they thought we'd never say. Just kidding. Cleveland Guardians. They have 6 games this week. 3 at the Cubs, 3 at home versus Detroit, 3 lefties, 3 righties, which makes this next to impossible.
Yeah, next to impossible. I mean, David Fry will probably play 3 times this week. So if you need a dollar catcher as the number 2 catcher, you could do that. He's DHing against lefties. So that's about all I have for Cleveland.
Yes. That's about all there is worth having. The question is, what are you doing with Tanner Bibee?
He's been good. Last couple starts.
Say that with more conviction next time. I was kidding.
I think he got 17 strikeouts the last 2 starts. I mean, I think you're riding Tanner Bibee for as long as you can.
He's getting better for sure.
Yeah. So it's been
rocky.
Yes.
Detroit Tigers, they have 6 games this week, 3 at Washington, 3 at Cleveland, 2 lefties, 4 righties for the Tigers. Your boy Wynn Seal is still a man on a mission. This team's good. They're a really good ball club. What do you have here?
Really good club. Yeah, I've got one seal. I mean, I sound like a broken record, but still only 33% owned in 12 teamers. When Seal Perez, like, this is probably the best he's ever played in the majors in terms of like a stretch run, but a 15% barrel rate and 18% strikeout rate. That is really good. Wenciel Perez has deserved the 300 batting average with 6 home runs and 86 plate appearances. So I know we talk about him every week, but he's still pretty widely available in 12 teamers. So I like Wenciel Perez. We got Reese Olson, I think, coming back, right? I always get this, yep. You always have some update after I say something.
Looks like Tuesday, if not Wednesday. They're circling the wagons around Tuesday or Wednesday for Reese. He made his final rehab start on Wednesday through 74 pitches. They liked what they saw, and they should like what they saw. So he's expected back, I believe, Tuesday or Wednesday. Right now, RotoWire has Wednesday. So yeah.
And he would take Dietrich Enns' spot in the rotation.
Pitched today. Ends of his watch.
Yes. Maybe the ends of yes. That was too easy.
Yes, you can't give me softballs like that, right? Come on, we're gonna be here all day. I want to mention another hitter though, Zach McKinstry. Zach McKinstry, he's hitting 277 on the year, 4 homers, 9 steals. Like, it's not jumping off the page, but he also has 37 runs and 22 RBIs in his limited time. He's come back from his injury, playing pretty darn good ball right now. And he's going to get, pretty good schedule next week. Like we talked about in June, he's got 1 homer and 5 steals to go with a 277 average in just June alone. So McKinstry is another. He's got multi-position eligibility. Yeah. So definitely keep him in mind.
Shortstop, third, and outfield. Like, that's very useful multi-position eligibility.
And then one more thing here. TDK says, what's up with Vierling? He's rehabbing. We could see him soon. He's also was out for so long. I think they want to take it slow with him because his injury is pretty nasty. But with these teams, nothing surprises me anymore. He could be back. I think early next week would be the best case scenario for Vierling, which would shake things up with this roster that we were looking at. But he's rehabbing. I just know they're taking it very, very slow with him. Kansas City Royals, they have 7 games this week, 4 at Seattle, 4 at Arizona. It's a nice little West Coast road trip. 1 lefty and 6 righties for the Royals this week, a team that can't hit the broadside of a barn right now.
No, it's rough, and I don't really think, like, even though it's a 6 righty week, it's a tough schedule. You get the tough Mariners rotation. You get Kirby, Gilbert, and Wu, 3 out of the 4. Emerson Hancock's the 4th, so you like that. But then you get your boy, Gallen. So,
dude, I cut him a long time. It's a little easier. Yeah, you can't even go that direction. Like, I'm more laughing every time people keep like, what else do you need to see here, people? Like, yeah. He's broken. He might throw one good start, but he has 5 more that just light your world on fire. I'm sorry, I digress.
I just try and get you fired up. I just grenades.
I just laugh because his last start against the White Sox, he got destroyed again, and now people are like, okay, it's time to cut him. It's like, no, it's time to cut him a long time ago.
You'd want to try and stream lefties for the Royals, but like, I'm not going to recommend Drew Waters or John Rave. I do think this needs to be a get right week for my guy, for Jack Caggs.
Yes.
Like, dude was doing absolutely nothing and then had the 2 homer game on June 19th. Has gone back to doing absolutely nothing. Jack Caglione had in 75 plate appearances. Jack Caglione has 3 runs and 4 RBI with those 2 homers. Like, literally has done nothing. And you can sense the nervousness in my voice when I'm saying this. So would be nice, Jack, to start going on that Nick Kurtz trajectory a little bit.
That's what I was going to say is, like, as long as they keep playing him like the A's kept playing Nick Kurtz, I think he'll figure it out because the quality of contact is still pretty strong. It's just, how patient with the Royals? Like, they have no reason not to be patient with him, but that'd be my biggest thing. As long as they keep playing him, it's gonna click sooner than later.
Power's there. Power's there.
Yeah.
Even in
and the his plate discipline's really good. His plate for like a young ball player, all things it feels like it's much
better than average strikeout rate, 20%. Yeah, not bad. Yeah,
like we talked about him with Martin yesterday. I was like, we looked into his just underlying skill set. It's like actually pretty decent. Babbitt sucks. Like, these are things that can change, is my point.
Yep. So just needs to happen. Semi. Like, I'm waiting.
Yeah. Sounds like, never mind. I'll stop. Minnesota Twins. They have 6 games this week, 3 at Miami, 3 at home versus the Rays. It's all right-handed pitchers on deck this week. But most of these lefties we used to love to line shift with last year are all widely rostered.
Right. Walner's widely rostered. Homer today, I think. Maybe that was Larnett. I get them all mixed up.
They both did.
They both did. Okay. Yeah. That's right. Pretty much everyone homered.
So did Brooks Lee. So you could throw him in the mix too. But even Brooks Lee's 63% rostered.
I don't have too much there. I was going to throw up Brooks Lee, but I'd do that every week, but because he's pretty good.
He's very good. Like, I'd still throw him at 63%. It's kind of usually over our threshold, but I think it should be higher, especially in a week like this coming up. So keep rolling. Now, Royce Lewis is starting a rehab assignment on Friday. Keep that in mind. So,
yeah, that's might be tough playing time. At least
he could return like beginning early next week, and that could make things a little trickier for Brooks Lee when all things shake out there.
Good point.
All right, heading to the AL West here, the Sacramento Athletics. They get 3 at Tampa Bay, 3 at home versus the Giants. Pretty sweet looking matchups to me overall. I know the screen doesn't show the green colors we want, but it's their 6 righties for the A's to see this week. Anything interest you here?
I mean, not too much on the hitter side. You've got Shea Bangalaers is coming back. So anyone who has Austin Wins as a second catcher, myself included in that, you may need to look elsewhere for your second catcher this coming week. I was going to go straight. I mean, you mentioned him, Jacob Lopez.
Yep.
I
pleaded last week and he dealt again this week.
Yep. Ever since those like 2 blowups in a row, Jacob Lopez has been, he's given up 1 earned run, I believe, his last 4 starts combined.
Very good.
29 strikeouts, 7 walks in those 4 starts, and I believe gets a 2-step.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
So it's at the Rays, which I don't like, but it's at least a lefty against the Rays. And then I do like him against your Giants. So Jacob Lopez, is he widely?
He's 52%, which is good. People are starting to add him, which is good to see.
Yeah. So I like him. Adam.
With you there as well. All right, let's go to Houston. Houston Astros, they're on the road for 6. 3 at Coors, 3 at the Dodgers. It's 3 lefties and 3 righties. Coors is 2 lefties and 1 righty, if you want to really break down things. But overall, it's a tough streaming week for Houston. But hey, Mr. Yordan is at least swinging off a tee and maybe taking batting practice. I don't know.
Yeah,
I would be, exactly.
You called him Framber in the Discord, I think.
Yeah, because I was frazzled. That's what that was.
Frazzled. So, yeah, not doing really anything on the hitter front for the Astros. I think Lance McCullers.
I got one.
Go ahead. Yep.
Just more than anything, because it's the Coors week part that entices me. I will throw Mauricio Dubon out there right now. I'm not the biggest Mauricio fan, most people know, but he's playing every day at second base. He's got outfield eligibility as well. And over the last like 12 games or so, he's hitting .323 with 4 home runs. Like, he's showing some signs of life. So if you want to throw a stream in Coors, Mauricio Dubon's a pretty good stream. In 15s for sure, he's probably not even rostered in 12s. He's 1% in 12s. Like, 12s, it's a shaky stream. You can get him for like a buck probably and play him for the first half of the week. So someone to think about.
Okay. Lance McCullers.
Anyway, real quick, with that response right there, if you are in the Discord and you bond us anything next week, I'll make Mason Wynn look like chump change on that Discord chat right there.
Mauricio Dubon. Okay.
Out of your pitchers that are very valuable this week. Hold on.
Mauricio Dubon has 3 barrels all year. That's pretty good. Yeah. No, I'm not going to hate. You get the Coors. You like that. I didn't have anything to add, so I just just sat here in awe of Mauricio Dubon.
It happens.
Who gets squeezed when McCullers comes back, or do they go 6 man?
Like, we talked about this in the Discord, and it's like they've wanted to go 6 man all along, but everyone always gets hurt, which usually happens when any team wants to go 6 man. I feel like it should be Gusto because Walter and Gordon are pitching so well,
right?
But Gusto's kind of been there the whole time, so I think maybe Walter's the odd man out, weirdly enough.
Just keep an eye on that, because those guys are, I don't want to say widely rostered. Well, Walter probably is. Gusto, I don't know. I've got Gusto and Labor in the 15-teamer. And, like, I'm just saying, if you have those guys, just keep an eye this weekend on, like, news there, because I think someone gets squeezed, or it's six-man. And, yeah, you just don't know. So I'm just raising awareness that someone might lose their job in the Houston rotation in the short term.
Gordon's 12% no sees, Walter's 48%, Gusto's 9%. So keep an eye on those folks. I think it goes six man, but I'm with you, and I like them this week. I like them pretty much anytime. So I'm honestly surprised they're not higher rostered these days the way they are pitching. And Gordon's got a two-step we'll discuss, interesting one. But you got Walter in Colorado. Yeah. I'd be all over that. Right now, if you look at RotoWire, they have Gusto out for McCullers.
That would make sense. Either that or six-man would make sense.
Yes, agreed. Full send on that. All right, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, six games this week, three at Atlanta, three at Toronto, one lefty, five righties on tap here for an Angels team that is, outside of Joe Adell, not doing a ton. And Zach Neto, we don't know what his situation is. He's no structural damage, which means absolutely nothing to me right now.
Correct. I was just going to bring up your guy, Christian Moore. I mean, had a good week, but I want to throw some short-term cold water. Like, the plate skills are really bad right now for Christian Moore.
It looked Nick Kurtz-esque.
I don't know, dude. It's a near 40%. It's only 45 plate appearances, so, you know, grain of salt. But it's a near 40% strikeout rate, coming off a strikeout rate in the minors of high 20s, and it's a ton of whiffs right now for Christian Moore. So I don't know. Like, part of me says, like, this guy's talented. You like him, and I obviously put stock in that. And he's playing every single day, so I like that too. I'd be hesitant to go overboard on a fab bid for Christian Moore.
I fully endorse that comment right there. I love Christian Moore. I think we talked on, if it was on air or whenever we talked about him last. I love the skills. I think they're ridiculously good. Once he figures it out, he's going to be awesome. Just how long does it take? These young players are taking a ton of time right now, and that's fair. It's fair. Most people should take time to adjust to the big league level. But I think Moore's very, very good. I'm with you. Like, if you're in my league, go break the bank for him. Go for it. Spend your fab dollars. But if you care for anything we have to say, I would, yes, temper that. Temper that for sure.
Okay, agreed. Yeah, because I don't know. It's just like you're buying someone coming, especially if it's like another home run this weekend. It's I just worry a little bit.
I do want to point out, because Kenley Jansen had a night off, and we saw a two-inning save from Zephyrjan. I still think Detmers is very, very good, but Zephyrjan was kind of the guy before Detmers got good in the pen. Just keep that in the back of your mind if something were to happen to Jansen, who has already had a scare in the last, like, 48 to 72 hours, according to the Mets timeframes.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so Kenley did leave his Monday start, or Monday, whatever, appearance after four pitches. But the Angels did, I mean, he pitched the next night. So, so like you said, the following day, obviously Jansen, that would be three in a row coming off. I think it was like a pec discomfort.
They said shoulder cramps.
Oh, shoulder cramps. Where did I get pec discomfort from? We don't want to know.
Right. Don't want to know what you're up to over there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like Kenley's fine if you're super specking for saves. You could go for a cheap Reed Detmers, but it's probably not going to be fruitful there.
Exactly. All right, the Seattle Mariners, they have seven games this week, all at home, four versus the Royals, three versus Pittsburgh, three lefties and four righties. It's one lefty, three righties in the first half, two lefties, one righty in the second half of the week. Were we jumping on Donovan Solano right now?
Dude, he's hot.
That's what I'm asking. I wasn't even kidding.
But no, I'm not. Donovan Solano is Donovan Solano. He's 37 years old. Like,
he's younger than us, Ryan. He's younger than us.
He's younger than us, but he's in the same generation. So that alone puts him out of baseball range. But no, I mean, sure, in 15s, if you need somebody to play, Donovan Solano is going to play probably seven games, unless the Mariners do something to alleviate having him at first base. But it would be a conditional like buck or two type of throw. And it just sucks in a 7-game week for the Mariners. Like you'd like to take advantage of Luke Rayleigh, and you can for the first half of the week, but you can't the following week going against two lefties because Luke Rayleigh does not play against lefties, and even against righties, he hasn't been playing every day either. So all that to say, there's not much going on with the Mariners fab wise right now.
Yeah, I'll add to that. Like, if you just want to play NFBC, like midweek stuff, Rayleigh's fine. Dominic Canzone would be worth a stream as well, who's been actually swinging with some pop of late. But just know it's a first half of the week situation, to Ryan's point.
Real quick, just quick trivia. This is my guy, but Dylan Moore, I guess how many hits he has this month?
I'm guessing I can count him on my two hands.
He's one hit this month.
Yeah, I figured. I knew it's been bad. It's been real bad for your one. Wasn't going to bring it up because I'm a friend, but yes.
Credit to my dad for that when he texted me that one out of the blue one day.
And, nice. Yeah. He was worried about you probably going like, hey, are you okay? Your guy's
I like, love Dylan Moore, man. But yeah, he's not playing.
He has as many hits this month as you have hole-in-ones.
No, mine came in May. But appreciate the shout-out.
I tried.
I do appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, Texas Rangers, they have 6 games this week, 3 at home versus Baltimore, 3 at the Padres. It's 2 lefties and 4 righties on the weekend. It's all righties versus the Padres again. If that means anything to you, what do you like of Texas? Because this offense is really bad.
No, it's bad. And, like, I'm really worried about Wyatt Langford. Like,
yeah,
something doesn't. Like, how many times has he hurt his oblique?
Dude, I don't even want to
count this anymore. Year. Like, I don't want to laugh at it, but, like, something's not right there, it seems like.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
Obviously he's not an ad drop, whatever. I'm just, if you have Wyatt Langford, it's just got to be frustrating. In terms of ads here, I don't see really anything on the hitter side for sure. I don't, even on the pitcher side, like Kumar Rocker's been up and down lately as opposed to just totally down the beginning of the season, but I don't have much.
Yeah, I got nothing either. I'm going to avoid this one until maybe things change some point in time, but not seeing it. I'm even seeing Sam Haggerty's name in the chat, not doing that. He got 3 steals when he pinch ran the other day, so you weren't starting him anyways.
Yeah.
All right, let's head to the National League. You have the Atlanta Braves with 6 games on tap, all at home, 3 versus the Angels, 3 versus the Orioles, 2 lefties, 4 righties. Another team that is struggling at the plate right now.
Yeah. And I just keep getting inundated with Michael Harris.
That was the best wake up call everywhere. Ever the other day.
Yeah, that was. But then you posted something today, right, about Michael Harris, how he has no walks with like Andy Páez.
Mm-hmm.
I can't avoid this. I got nothing for the Braves. I mean, we've talked the last 2 weeks about Jurickson Profar coming back July 2nd. That's still the case. If you wanted to do that, you'd pick him up last week. Might cost a little bit more now, but that's all I've got for the Braves. What about the closure situation? What's your read on that? Right, Raisel Iglesias did get a save, a rescue save on Tuesday, the day after Dylan Lee got a save. So I don't know what's going on in Atlanta right now.
I don't know either. Like, actually, Iglesias hasn't been bad since he got put to the eighth, kind of like the Devin Williams situation. I like to see him get the job again. Obviously, Dylan Lee's getting plenty of shake as well. So I think it's a kind of a committee for now. I'm still holding hope for Iglesias, but he's been on my bench. I haven't been starting him until I get further news. I'm not dropping him either.
Agreed. Oh, for sure. I think we've said this, but I think ultimately, eventually, it goes back to Raisel Iglesias. But Braves also weren't really winning that much, so it doesn't. I don't know how much it matters.
Yes, I'm with you. It's not great across the board. All right, the Miami Marlins, they have 6 games this week, all at home, 3 versus Minnesota, 3 versus Milwaukee, all right-handed pitchers for the Marlins to attack. Problem is, who are you attacking them with?
You're attacking them with Jesus Sanchez, of course, but I would think he's pretty widely rostered. We had a question from Dave Petrozillo on Tuesday about Kyle Stowers and his level of concern with Stowers. Stowers did hit a home run on Thursday, believe, so that was nice, along with your guy with the goose. So I like Kyle Stowers this week against all righties. And I always like Dane Meyers. I don't really know why, but I like Dane Meyers. So
Yep, I'm with Dane. A lot of people like Dane Myers. He let us down when he got hurt last time. Maybe it's time to get back on the Dane Myers train. I'm with there. Yeah, most of the guys actually like Stowers, Goose, Jesus, Otto Lopez. Pretty widely rostered, I'd imagine. I looked at all of them. Otto's 81. Yeah, they're all at least 80% or more right now. So heavy roster rates in Miami, which is crazy to think about talking about that team. What else I'll ask you about here, though? Like Yuri's obviously rostered. Cabrera, Alcantara's pitching better. You got Mr. Jansen Junk was the talk of the town, and he got junked on in San Francisco on Thursday. So are we just done with that project?
Not totally. Like I'm pretty interested in at least what Jansen Junk was doing before today's start, which wasn't great. I think it was one strikeout against the Giants. So you don't like to see that. But prior to that, Jansen Junk had 27 innings of basically a over 20% K minus walk, like pretty good, very good control and enough whiffs to kind of make it work, but it's extremely small sample. So there's a very good chance Jansen Junk morphed back into Jansen Junk today against the Giants, and that's who he is going forward. So I'd be pretty tepid on Jansen Junk. I'm trying to look up his next few matchups. It would be Minnesota on July 2nd and then Great American Small Park on July 7th. So I don't really like either of those for Jansen Junk right now.
Yeah, that's kind of what's keeping me off of that train at the moment. Keeping me off the junk. All right. New York Mets, they have six games this week, all at home. Three versus Milwaukee, three versus the Yankees. Again, all at home, Bubba. Three lefties, three righties. So what do you got?
I mean, I just want to bring up and really get your take on, I mean, Mark Vientos is coming back on Friday, yes. Sounds like. So yes. What's your read on the Vientos, Beatty, Mauricio, insert other player here, carousel at a variety of positions?
It's very interesting to skate around the question for now, but I think we might see like a Beatty Vientos possible platoon. I feel like they're going to let Mauricio get some run here because they sent Angel Acuna down. I think that's why, was to let just okay. Mauricio play. Again, okay. He's played three straight games at second base. So I feel like they're going to give him some run. That's all been since Acuna's been down. So I think that's the way it's going to go. But again, Beatty can move to second base as well. There's moving parts there.
McNeil's hitting, like he's staying in.
Yeah, so that's what makes it tricky. I think it's a Beatty-Vientos situation for now, at least.
Okay. We will get a read. The Mets get this coming weekend. I'm flipping the weekly planner over to our current week. The Mets get one lefty and two righties. Excuse me, this weekend at Pittsburgh. So we will get a little bit of a read against left and right-handed pitching with Vientos in the mix. So if you've got Vientos, Beatty, Mauricio, just keep an eye on what they do this weekend. Outside of that, we talked about at the top the Griffin Canning injury, potential replacements there. That's all I got, man.
Well, Frankie Montas looked good with five innings in his return, man. How do you like we get to finish off the two step this week, so he might not be out of the woods.
Yeah, just smoking yet. Mirrors, dude. Smoking mirrors. But
then he gets the Yankees next week. That's attractive, not. And then he gets Kansas City the following week, though. That is. So are we in on Frankie?
I was not in on Frankie given how bad he looked in rehab. And even though it was five scoreless, I'm still skeptical. So no, I'm not in on Frankie Montas. I've got him in a bunch of draft, not a bunch. I'm only doing five drafted holds, but I did take him, I think, in two or three early on. So, but still, I'm not even considering, I think, starting Montas in drafted holds right now.
Makes sense. Philadelphia Phillies, they have six games this week: three at home versus San Diego, three at home versus Cincinnati. Two lefties and four righties for a Phillies team that pretty much is what they are.
Pretty much. It sounds like Bryce Harper will be back some point next week.
That's what it feels like, yes. He's ramping up pretty well. He's supposed to face like the high-velocity pitching machine now to really test out the wrist. I think if all goes well, I think we get him at the beginning of the week.
Okay. Which would mean Otto Kemp, I would guess, probably goes back to AAA or goes back to the bench. And if you have Otto Kemp... 255 batting average, no homers, one steal. He hasn't been doing much for you anyway. So I don't have much on the Phillies. Do I have anything on is Aaron Nola alive?
I have not heard an update in a while. I think he's he's in the Tommy Edman black hole right now. We don't know where he's at. Haven't heard from him. Don't know if he's alive. So I think he's a safe drop, Ryan.
You sound so happy saying that. I'm holding on. I've got him in the listener league. I'm holding on.
I don't wish injury on anybody, but like he might not be back till
sometime
in August at this rate or September.
I just want to see some type of update before I drop him.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything. And trust me, I'll keep you up to date if I see it.
I'm sure you will.
Don't you worry.
We didn't get any clarity really on that. Phillies have not had any closing opportunities this past week. So still don't really know if it's actually Kirkering or if that was just a couple spots where Kirkering was closing or if Romano goes back, who knows?
And Kirkering got the loss on Thursday coming into the eighth. So
I did not see that. Oh, that's not great.
No, so it's just a mess. It's a tough one to even try to get. That's why I picked up some Matt Strom shares for real cheap last week and said let's roll. But it's a tricky one to say the least. All right, let's talk about the Washington Nationals. 6 games this week, all at home. 3 versus the Tigers, 3 versus the Red Sox. All right-handed pitching for the Nats this week. But again, not many things to pick up.
Good week for Luis Garcia, but everyone has and probably starting Luis Garcia anyway. Josh Bell, decent streamer in 15s, I guess. In an all-righty week, I'm not going to recommend Dalen Lyle. He's the other strong side guy, so I don't think there's anything.
Are you believing in Brady House at all?
I don't know. I mean, how's he looked this first week?
He's only hitting .231. It's like not lighting the world on fire by any means.
He's got a barrel, a couple steals. That's nice. That is nice on a team that likes to run, but I don't know. I'm just kind of
gotta bring him up.
I'm kind of mid on House, but I feel like he was added last week. I mean, he was eligible last week.
It's only 24% right now in OCs.
In OCs, yeah. I don't think this week really changes anything there.
And then I'll mention it again. I mentioned it early on in the preview. I get back on the Michael Soroka chain. If anybody jumped off, we keep saying it every week. Under the hood, it looks great. He seems to pitch really well until like that one hiccup. It's like a Charlie Morton disease. It's like that's that one hiccup that kind of ruins a really good stat line. He has another great matchup this week. So, yeah.
Gets the Angels this weekend and then Boston next week. So you like those next two starts for Soroka.
Most definitely. Let's head to the NL Central, the Cubbies. They're at home in Wrigley for 6, 3 versus Cleveland, 3 versus the Cardinals, 1 lefty, 5 righties. Go pick up Pete Crow Armstrong, folks.
Eat Crow Armstrong, as I like to refer to him personally.
That's fair. Are we going Reese McGuire for a stream this week?
We're not streaming Reese McGuire, I don't think. I mean, maybe. So, like, I do have, Austin Wins.
Might be streaming.
Yeah.
He's homered in 3 of his last 4 games.
Yeah. Really, really cranking it.
He is just popping it out of the park.
But no, I don't think Reese McGuire is all that great. I think you don't get last week's stats if you do that. I don't have much for the Cubs, man. The one interesting thing is Porter Hodge did return this week. If we're going to go look at the closer situation and pitched on Wednesday. But then Palencia got the save today. Hodge probably not available back-to-back days, just coming off the IL. But I still think Palencia looked good today. Struck out the side, gave up a hit, hit Wilson Contreras. There was a little bit of jawing back and forth in that game, which was kind of interesting. But Palencia, I think, is locked in for now.
I'm with you. Allowed 2 guys to get on and struck out the side. Like, I'll take that all day long. Dude's filthy. He's absolutely filthy. So let's hope Council continues to feel that way too. And it'd be bad if we didn't mention it. Our boy's back.
Who?
Shota.
Our boy.
Shota. Oh yeah. He's back on the bump.
So look good today.
That's what I'm saying. Just thought I'd throw it out there. All right, let's head to the Cincinnati Reds. They're on the road for 6, 3 at Boston, 3 at Philly, 3 lefties, 3 righties. I guess you could look at pitchers against Boston. Oh, there's this guy, Chase Burns.
Chase Burns. I don't know. I thought when Martin was on with you with Bench with Bubba this week, I thought he laid it out pretty well. Like Martin thinks you've got what 50, 60 innings of Chase Burns this year if you fab him. I think that's the question. Martin seems very, or I don't want to say very, I don't want, he seems confident that Chase Burns, those innings are going to be quality innings. And I, despite the park, I agree with that. And we talked about this a little bit on Tuesday, but you just, it's so team dependent on, did you just lose Chris Sale? How's your pitching doing? Like, did you lose Pablo Lopez and you just haven't found did you miss out on Mizorowski? Like, do you, all these different factors, it is going to, Chase Burns is going to cost a boatload of fab. And I know probably everyone wants to say, should I do it or not? I'm not going to sit here and predict how it's going to go. I just think if you need pitching, this is probably a move where you get aggressive and bid. You're going to have to be aggressive to get Chase Burns.
Yep. If you're looking for catchers, this is a catchers. In chat. If you're looking for strikeouts, this is a massive strikeout arm. So this could be a game changer for the last, 3 months of the season or so. We were doing the math on the show. Let's say he throws 60 innings, at six innings a start, it's 10 more starts. At five innings a start, it's 12 more starts. That gets him close to September time. So
honestly, that's no less than, yes, maybe it's less than like a major league regular, but how confident that major league regular is going to stay healthy the rest of the way? Like I innings are not really a concern for me for Chase Burns.
Well, but that was like my point. If people were going to complain, I'm like, most pitchers are making 10 to 13 more starts maybe the rest of the way. So if he's in line for 10 starts, like you're in play, you roll with it and you stream in the last couple weeks of the season and deal with it at best. So I'm going to be very aggressive on Burns where I need pitching help, because it's weird. I have a couple of these that are really, really good in pitching and then a couple that are really, really bad. Those really, really bad ones might get a lot of fab thrown at him this week.
And I'm going to kind of lean back on the old, like in terms of how much should I bid? With Burns to get him, it's going to be the question of how much are you comfortable having the rest of the way if you want to get Burns.
Britton Allen says 250 plus. I think that's fair. Yes.
Yeah. It could be. Fab budgets are down. Like 250 is some teams, like I've got a team that doesn't have $250, but yeah. I mean,
I wouldn't be like the way I see it in like a 12 team league, you're probably closing in on 65 to 70% of your budget because you can survive on dollar bids the rest of the way in 12s. 15s maybe a little more closer to like 55% because you'll need that money, but people will be aggressive in 12s right now. People are giving up. There's a lot of uncontested bids. You can queue a lot longer waterfalls, a lot more dollar $2 bids can go through the rest of the way in 12s. So let's keep
what about Michael in the chat here, who we're not going to make a beer bet of it, but it's a really good question. Mizorowski or Chase Burns rest of the way?
Yeah, I think I asked Martin that as well. I think he said, I can't remember now, because I know he was not the biggest Miz fan because of his control issues, which were very valid based on what we saw in the minors. We have not seen yet in the bigs. I think he's going Burns, if I remember. So I'm going to go Miz because we've seen it. And I know he took Miz. This is why I want him. Miz can go more innings. So if you are worried about innings, Miz is like, barring them pulling a Logan Henderson on us, Miz is locked in for the rest of the season without a question.
I mean, they threw the same number of innings last year.
But Burns just came at
Burns West came West. In college. Yeah, Burns just came in college, and Miz has had 2 years in the minors.
That's where my brain's at on that.
I get that. I'll go contrarian. I'll go Burns. I think it's close, but I do think we haven't seen the bad walk version of Mizorowski quite yet, and that could come back. So, but very, very good question. Very close.
I'm rooting for both
Burns. Yeah, exactly.
Like I'm rooting for both.
I actually watched some of that Mizorowski versus Skeens. Funny, it was like Skeens, one of his worst starts. But Mizorowski looked freaking incredible. 90 mile an hour curveballs. Like, what are we doing? Michael C says, I saw Miz go for between 90 and 330. So that's kind of the range for Burns. I agree with that.
So. I got Miz for 44 in a 12 team league. So you never know in some of these leagues. It's always highly entertaining.
Chase Burns has better projections, so that tracks for my MO over there, Michael says. So
there you go. All right, let's head to the Milwaukee Brewers here. They have, speaking of Miz, they have six games this week, all on the road, three at the Mets, three at Miami, one lefty, five righties on tap. The Brewers are healthy and just kind of running the same lineup out every day.
You know, he's hitting pretty well in Milwaukee.
Yes, can you say it? Say it, please. Say it. Is his last name, is it Rollins? Does it rhyme with Rollins?
He's a brother of Tom. It's Isaac Collins.
That's what I thought.
Hitting quite well right now. I want to throw up in my mouth saying this because I laughed you off the proverbial podcast stage for recommending Isaac Collins a few months ago. 8 steals, 4 homers, .258. I mean, he hasn't been like elite, all right? He hasn't been like that good, but he is playing every single day, and you get 6 pretty favorable games for the Brewers this week. So, Isaac Collins, did I do a good enough job there? Am I free? That's now?
Fair. He's 6% in 12s. He's definitely a 15-team play. He should probably roster in a lot of 15s already. There's streamability in 12s for sure. It goes to my point. If you want to break the bank on Burns, Collins, you'll get for a buck in a lot of 12s this week. A lot. Yeah. So.
Another hot hitter, Joey Ortiz. I don't know. He just is similar to what we're kind of talking about with Christian Moore. Like, they're different types of players, but you are buying someone coming off a 2-homer week, and Joey Ortiz has 7 barrels all year. Like, makes a lot of contact, but it's pretty hollow. So, Joey Ortiz playing every day, that means something in 15s, but I wouldn't think this is like the start of some heater for Joey Ortiz.
Yeah, I'm not getting overly aggressive on that one. We talked about him on the projection show on Tuesday, so I'm still timid there. I'm going to bring up Quinn Priester. He's got at Miami. Miami's swinging it better. I'm not going to deny that, but Priester's been pretty solid. Hit around a little more in his last outing, but overall has been very, very good over like the last month. So Quinn Priester would be a pitcher I would have on my radar this week.
I like that.
All righty, let's head to the Pittsburgh Pirates. 6 games, 3 at home versus St. Louis, 3 at the Seattle Mariners. All righties on tap for a Pittsburgh Pirates team that rivals the Royals when it comes to offense.
Yeah, man, they're really freaking bad. Nick Gonzalez is hitting well, clean up every day, second base. I've always liked Nick Gonzalez. I feel like I probably talk about him too much, but starting to hit, so I like that as a middle infield pickup. But man, outside of that, Tommy Pham, I think, hit his first home run of the season this week.
He did. Yes, he did.
So congrats there. I saw Tommy Pham get rung up on a questionable third strike this week. It looked like he was about to literally stab the home plate umpire. He just like stared him down like, I'm going to kill you.
I put nothing past Tommy Pham.
Exactly.
So, yes. Like, there might have been a note in the ump's locker after the game, like, meet me outside in 10 minutes type thing.
I don't know why I was, but it must have been the Skeens Mizorowski game. Why else would I be watching the Pirates?
It's got to be. You would not be watching it for anything else. So that's true. So. I was going to save this for two-step week discussions, but we have Andrew Heaney versus St. Louis and at Seattle. I think in 15s, that's got some viability, to be honest.
I think you're right. Not in 12s, but I don't know, man. For as good as Heaney was at the start, the more I look.
Yeah, it's been bad.
It's not like, great.
If we mention Trevor Rogers, after all.
I know. I did lead off the show with Trevor Rogers, so I can't hate on Heaney. Marginal 15 streamer, I think.
Fair enough. I'll take marginal more often than not in my day-to-day life. St. Louis Cardinals, they have 6 games this week, 3 at Pittsburgh, 3 at the Cubs, 2 lefties, 4 righties for the boring yet very productive Cardinals offense.
Right, agreed. And so, I mean, the boring part of that is I just don't see anybody.
I got one for you.
Adding Nolan Gorman, is that your guy?
Mentioned him last week, and he hit a couple more home runs. I just keep going because now, and I'll shout out Mr. Kurland here, because I was looking into it last night, and I don't tweet cool stuff like he does. So he put it into forms that most can understand. Gorman has started against 5 of the last 6 lefties as well, which is big. And over the last 14 games, 3 homers, 8 runs, 7 RBIs, hitting .250. So Nolan Gorman's getting tons of run, and I would definitely look to play him. 4% rostered in 12s.
Okay. I like it. No, I like it. I like it. He's been DHing, but he is second base, right?
Yes, he's second base and DH because Donovan's healthy, so he's just going to DH for now. But he could spell Donovan at times.
Third too. Jesus.
I knew that. He's got some viability in a 4% roster with a guy with pop like that. I mean, if he's hitting at least .250, like, he's definitely worth it, because it's always the swing and miss and the average that's a concern with Nolan Gorman. If he's putting together a 250 average, like, you can, you'd be happier than a pig in what, you know what they call it. So yes.
Do I?
Yeah, you just want me to say it, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Anything else with St. Louis?
No.
All right. Let's head to the NL West. The Arizona Diamondbacks, they have 7 games this week, all at home, 4 versus the Giants, 3 versus the Royals, 2 lefties, and 5 righties for the D-backs. So what are you looking at here?
Decent Pavin Smith week. We talked about this on Tuesday. I've got eyes on Eugenio Suarez. Have we heard anything else on Suarez?
I don't know, and this is not me throwing jabs at you. I don't know if you read my news and notes from Thursday, but I have had my snark in there. They let him drop Thursday morning from Wednesday. Suarez, they're waiting for the swelling to go down to get an MRI, but he took batting practice on Wednesday, which sounds like such an intelligent move. Like, just genius stuff. It's what they did with, they actually let Moreno play in games before they found out he had a fractured hand. So they're still waiting for an MRI for Suarez, so we don't know the details there. The Jordan Lawler love, that's on hold. He's on the minor league IL with a hamstring injury, and I just saw before the show, out for at least a month.
So, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's
Blaze Alexander got called up for Vargas. He seems to be the main culprit at third base for now. Hopefully nothing serious with Suarez, but we really don't know at the moment.
Okay. And then Ixnay on the Jordan Lawler.
I was just
man, that guy cannot stay healthy, man.
No, cannot avoid it at all.
The last name I'll throw out here for the Diamondbacks is Jake McCarthy. Again, we talked about him on Tuesday in wake of Corbin Carroll news in a 5-game righty week. Second half, Jake McCarthy, something to it. There's something to it.
And folks, please, please drop Zach Gallen for everyone's sake. Just enough of it. I drop him everywhere personally, but in 15s, you can hold if you want. I wouldn't be starting him at all. So, like, it's we're at that point of the year where that means he's a stash, and he is not stash worthy.
I like Ryan Nelson gets Kansas City this week. I like that as it's a two-step. Yeah, it's Giants and Kansas City. So I don't mind that. I've said Ryan Nelson is kind of a borderline streamer, and I think this is a week where he is above the borderline.
Kevin Hastings in the chat here, he says, if bad news on Suarez, are we in on Blaze? Blaze had like 8 homers, 11 steals, hit over .280 at AAA. I think he's still a deeper league play. Like, I go get Nolan Gorman to play third base for me. Yeah, but Blaze could be in play for sure.
Yeah, maybe in 15s. I think we've all picked up Blaze Alexander at some point over the last couple seasons. But yeah, AAA numbers look pretty good. 24% K rate. That's not the pretty good part, I guess. But pretty patient. 11% barrel rate. So the power has been there for Blaze, and 11 bags at AAA. So potential power speed type. If you're desperate for a spot there.
And Scott Slezak joined the chat here, so he thinks Tim Tawa would get most reps at third base. That's very possible. That could work as well.
Too, yeah. Tawa, very good point from our Scottsdale resident, Scott. Hope all is well, man.
Someone who is doing very well in a main event league right now, so I've heard. Colorado Rockies, they have 6 games all at home this week, so it's fitting that the 4th of July fireworks head to Colorado for the week. 3 versus Houston, 3 versus the White Sox, 2 lefties, 4 righties now. 2 lefties to start the week, 3 righties to finish the week. Pick your poisons there. What do you like with the Rockies?
The Rockies are kind of somewhat hitting their stride. I don't know, man. Like, they're interesting to me again. Like, I think Brent Doyle, we had a Doyle dong today. We've been talking about Brent Doyle. I know this isn't a fab thing, but it's more a start-sit maybe in shallower leagues. Brent Doyle could be in store for a nice second half. Mickey Moniak's been pretty good lately. That's a good call on your end, Bubba. Michael Toglia has been good lately. I think just going to be super streaky given the strikeout rate. My guy, Tyler Freeman, has been awesome lately, leading off. So I like really all those guys I just mentioned for this week. Tyler Estrada had a injury scare, but he's back in the lineup, started the last 3 games, so... Could be like a low key decent week for the Rockies.
Yeah, Tyro's 48%, Freeman 43%, Moniak 22%. So they're all out there. We'll all be popular this week for obvious reasons. But again, obvious reasons. Like, yes, go make sure to add them and enjoy what comes your way. for the foreseeable future when it comes to the Rockies. I have nothing on the pitching side of things.
No, we almost never do.
Yes, just wanted to clarify that just to be sure. I always give you your chance to speak your piece. Los Angeles Dodgers, 6 games at home this week, 3 versus the White Sox, 3 versus the Astros, 2 lefties, 4 righties for the Dodgers. Dave Roberts, liar, if anybody wasn't sure about that. Ha-Sung Kim has not played basically since they said he should play more often. I had to keep venting about that. It just annoys the crap out of me.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're a big fan, so surprised to see you kind of turn heel there on Dave Roberts. I don't know. Do we have anything? I mean, Michael Conforto is kind of hitting a little bit, but still think you got to be pretty desperate there. So, I mean, the Dodgers are all rostered rotation-wise. I have a hard time getting a feel for what they do with Kasperius and Robleski and openers and followers. It's like just very hard to recommend something for next week when we don't even know what they're doing the next 2 days. And like to your point, Dave Roberts can say something, and exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Fucking tool. yeah. So
the mic did catch that. I love it. That's awesome.
But all right, let's move on. San Diego Padres. They got 6 games this week, 3 at the Phillies, 3 at home versus Texas, 2 lefties, 4 righties. A Padres team that does standard operating procedure these days.
Right. I don't think we're adding any bats. I don't know. Are we adding anybody?
No. I got nothing.
I mean, yeah, there's nothing. Adrian.
Nope.
More John, but that's just because Suarez is suspended.
Yeah, thank you. Like, don't do it. But yes.
But maybe the plan B if Robert Suarez.
He is your CBS plan B. That is very true.
I don't know.
No, it's true. It's true. And then Yu Darvish is starting to rehab, so he'll be back in like August.
I think we said that in May. So
exactly. And the San Francisco Giants round things out here. 7 games on the road, 4 at the D-backs, 3 at Sacramento. It's 2 lefties and 5 righties. The Sacramento is 2 lefties and 1 righty, if you're keeping track at home. What do you like with the Gigantes?
I don't know. I just always toss this back to you. What do you like? Is Casey Schmidt legit?
Casey Schmidt is getting a CT scan on his hand right now. So
oh, yeah, that's right. He got hit today, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so if he's healthy, then yes. If not, then no. keep an eye on that over the weekend. Mike Yastrzemski is a good stream once again this week.
Yep,
at least for the first half of the week, and he should play versus the lefties. Actually, to be honest with you, I'll mention Christian Koss in deep leagues if Casey Schmidt is hurt, because he's already playing second base. Now he's moved over to third base on Thursday. And he's hit safely in like 4 of his last 7. It's nothing crazy, but in a deep league, there's going to be something there with Koss. I wouldn't be running to get it by any means, but someone to keep an eye on, because maybe it's just a guy that needs to get comfortable at the his first home run the other night. Someone to keep in mind as well.
And then what's your read on Duvall? Took the loss on Wednesday. It was nice of him. He gave the win to the good doctor, Dr. Foucher, on Wednesday. Man, Giants got swept.
It was the boost he needed after that blown save.
It was. What's your weekly Duvall feeling here?
Oh, he's a wild child. So that's his day one. The guy's got command issues. You never know what you're going to get. He's nasty. He got the nastiest stuff out of him or Walker. I'd still love to see Randy Rodriguez get that on the regular. But I think it's just like we said with Walker forever. Duvall will get plenty of chances to lose it. When he loses it, then it's probably Randy Rodriguez's turn. So if you want to stash Rodriguez, go for it. I feel like he gets it at some point in time.
Forrest asks, Will, is Casey Schmidt versatile enough to play once Matt Chapman returns?
Yes, he should play second base when Chapman returns.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, with Fitzgerald gone, he should play second base. That was like, they even made that, like the beat writers discussed that before he got hurt. So yeah, that's the plan for now. All right, any final thoughts on the schedule, my friend?
No, I kind of agree with Andy this week. Seems like a light week on the hitter side. It's going to be Chase. This will be the Chase Burns week, but Colorado and some middle infield options. I agree with that general take there, Andy. Yep. So just kind of fill holes where you can on the hitting side, and then just take a look at your standings and see what you want to do with Chase Burns.
Totally agree on that. Let's talk most added and dropped. I'm assuming I'm good to go here. We have Casey Schmidt. Okay, cool. We got Casey Schmidt at the top. Profar still hanging around. Your boy Freeman. There you go.
Fantrax is starting to catch up to Tyler Freeman. So this is most added this week since the last Fab run in weekly leagues on Fantrax. So a pretty good proxy for what the market's adding during the week. Tyler Freeman's number three. Dominic Canzone is number four, but do not like him in a pretty split week next week for Seattle. Our guy, Wensiel Perez, up 3%, up to 35% rostered in Fantrax. Still way too low, if you ask me. Chandler Simpson, pretty widely rostered. Ernie Clement, just got to give, you know, just freaking Ernie Clement, man. You got to be kidding me. 3%. Nick Gonzalez is also up 3%. Really like him, as I mentioned, as a middle infield target. We did not mention
Caleb Durbin.
Caleb Durbin. Yep. So I think hit a homer this week.
Yep.
On the season, we look at the skills again. This top free agent risers, I've got color coded skills on here. Caleb Durbin, very good strikeout rate, 10%. He's running a little bit, 16% stolen base attempt rate, but the power really isn't there. It's four homers projected the rest of the way and only a 3% barrel rate. So I don't know. I don't think there's any kind of major power burst coming.
What I'd say is three of his four home runs have come in the month of June, over 20 June games. He scored 16 runs compared to 14 combined in the first 2 months. Maybe we're seeing some new life here with Caleb Durbin. So I could see speculating if you need it, especially a corner infielder or a third baseman. Like, say you lost somebody. I can see Durbin getting some love there, especially I believe I got it right in front of me. Come on, dummy. Brewers. I like their schedule. Like, they got one lefty, five righties, like 11% K to walk, one of the best schedules on the week. So, yeah, Durbin's definitely worth a stream if you need some help in those positions.
All right. Joe Adell's a riser, but pretty widely rostered. Here's your boy, man. Here's Mauricio Dubon.
What's up? Because look at it. He's in Babbitt, Colorado. He's got a 9% carry, so the ball's getting put in play a ton. Okay. Let's dance.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Jake McCarthy. I think we can stop at this point.
I think I found my cover boy for Saturday's article now. Mauricio Dubon's going to be on the freaking cover. Let me make a mark here on my sheet. Yeah, there you go.
That'll really, you know, bring new subscribers onto the Patreon
when he gets three home runs and three games in Coors, you're welcome.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got on the pitching side of things?
All right, pitching risers. Yeah, I guess. I don't know if he's my
boy. Well, you're just talking about how much you like him. You like the skills.
So yeah, there you go. Two step for Ryan Nelson. It's marginal skills, but marginal skills in a two step is something that works in 15 teamers. Like he's a 4 ERA type guy. Ryan Nelson is based on the skills. So in a two step, you roll with that. He's the top pitcher. Add number two is our collective guy, Jacob Lopez, up 10%, up 40. He gets a two step, so we like that. Eric Lauer is in a current two-step, pitches next week. I think I said at the Angels. So you like that.
Lord.
And then here's Trevor Rogers, the number four rising pitcher in Fantrax leagues. We're desperate for some starting pitching over there in Fantrax. Trevor Rogers is up 6% to 29% rostered in Fantrax leagues.
I think the takeaway from this sheet, and didn't mention Charlie Morton, he's 62% roster, but I love me some Chucky. He was one of a popular ad for me this past week. But for the most part, that pitching list shows you how bad the pitching pool is.
We kind of say this every week, which, again, if you want to go for Chase Burns, like, this is one who sticks out compared to, like, getting good pitching is just very, very difficult. So,
yep, totally agree.
Who else did we not talk about? There's Dylan Lee, but we think that's still kind of split in Atlanta. Jansen Junk was a riser, but probably deflating after today's outing against your Giants. Frankie Montas is up 3%. Jake Latz.
He had a no-hitter into the seventh the other day, which is hilarious, but he should be gone here shortly.
I don't even think he'll be in the rotation much longer. So, no, I don't see much else. I think, like, at least we've at least covered. We didn't miss anybody on the pitching riser side.
Nope, we are good to go there, which means it's two-stepping time. Let's get after it here. Did I miss something? Oh, yeah. Arizona, Ryan Nelson, first the Giants, first Kansas City.
Yeah, from 15s, you do it.
Zach Gallen has a two-step versus San Francisco versus Kansas City, and I still know.
How great would it be, though, if you just shuts down the Giants?
Oh, he will after everything I've said. But then he'll get lit up by the Royals because he got lit up by the Rockies. He got lit up by the White Sox. He's like, if he figures it out, kudos. But he is just destroying teams.
Yeah, I'm not starting Zach Gallen this week.
Like I will be fine being wrong on that one. But, man, I'm so happy I've missed the last month plus of that carnage.
Yep.
The A's, we talked about Lopez, we're in at Tampa versus the Giants. Yes.
Yep.
Tough ballparks, but I love it. He's been doing it in tough ballparks, so I'm in. Atlanta, you have Grant Holmes versus the Angels versus Baltimore. Yes.
Yeah, you're doing that.
All right. We have Matthew Boyd versus Cleveland versus St. Louis.
Grant Holmes pitched today. I could pitch. Yeah, Tuesday, Sunday. Sorry, who'd you just say?
Matt Boyd versus Cleveland versus St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, that guy's awesome.
Yes, he is. Chase Burns is a yes. Gavin Williams at Chicago versus Detroit. Yeah.
No, I'm not doing that. I don't like Gavin Williams, though. So
yeah, you've always been. It's his control. If he's walking the farm, it's tough. But the dude has a 3.7 ERA. Like, he's been very serviceable. Like, I think he's still rolling. It's a dicey one, though. Detroit's pesky. You're in Wrigley. But I think you're rolling Gavin still. Chase Dolander versus Houston versus the White Sox.
No.
Jack Flaherty, who's been sucking the last three starts at Washington, at Cleveland. I think you still do it, but
you still do it. Great. Yeah. I mean, I've got some Flaherty in draft and holds, and it's been tough, but season long skills look good, though it has trended down a little bit lately. But I like this double matchup. Both Washington and Cleveland are below average against right handed pitching this year. So, yeah, you do Flaherty. Hope this is the start of a turnaround.
Agreed. Colton Gordon at Colorado at the Dodgers. I still do it.
If it happens, but yeah, you would do it.
Yeah. And if it doesn't, you got the Colorado start. So
exactly. And that's the only hesitation is at LA.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did just kind of talk up the Rockies a little bit, but I still think you roll Colton Gordon out there. I still
roll the Gordon. Royals, you got Michael Wacha at Seattle at Arizona.
I mean, those are two very tough offenses for against righties, but you start Michael Wacha. You always do. The guy always solid.
What about Michael Lorenzen?
You never start Michael Lorenzen. He's the anti-Michael Wacha.
Wacha. Yes. Tyler Anderson at Atlanta at Toronto.
Oh, it gets better.
Yeah. No. It's so nice. He's finally got his comeuppance. It's so good. Edward Cabrera versus Minnesota versus Milwaukee. Yes.
I'd throw that. Yeah, Edward Cabrera's been better lately. I would do that.
I'm guessing it's Freddy Peralta at the Mets at Miami. They have Woodruff on Sunday. He's still like I think he needs more than one rehab start. So I'm gonna say it's gonna be Peralta at the Mets at Miami. Yes.
Yeah.
Joe Ryan's a yes. Clay Holmes versus Milwaukee versus the Yankees.
Hasn't been great for Clay Holmes. You do it at 15, I'd be kind of hesitant in a 12.
Completely agree. 15, yes. 12, you depends on your other options, but he's not one of my top priorities.
Right.
Stroman, no. Max Fried, yes. I'll just take that one for you. Wheeler, yes. Heaney, you said 15s, yes. 12s, no.
Yeah, even in 15s. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it in 15s. Yep.
Nick Pivetta, because they have Darvish on Sunday, which would be ridiculous. At Philadelphia versus Texas, yes.
Auto start.
Yep. Kirby's an auto start for you, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Emerson Hancock versus Kansas City versus Pittsburgh.
Ooh. I like the schedule.
Good starts. It's a very good schedule.
Emerson Hancock is not that great, but in 15s, this is a streamable schedule. It's a low end option in 15s, but if you've got to do it, you could do worse here.
Yep, agreed. Logan Webb, yes. Birdsong, who got his bell rung on Thursday at Arizona at the A's.
He got his bird songed.
Yes.
I don't think Birdsong's pretty good, though. I think
you still do it.
Yeah, you still do it. It's a tough schedule, though.
He's going to have starts, I guess. He's young. He's going to have bad starts. That's just the reality of the game. Heck, not even young guys. It's just the reality of the game.
And you get scared of at Arizona, but it's Corbin Carroll-less and maybe Eugenio Suarez-less.
Like, and Naylor's got shoulder issues, maybe. Like, there's a lot of things that go on there.
Yep.
Eric Fede at Pittsburgh at the Cubs.
Oh, God.
Pittsburgh's awesome.
Cubs, yeah, I, but, dude, that Cubs start could...
If you're in a daily league, go get Eric Fede for Monday. I'll say that.
I mean, I don't even know if I'd do that, man. Eric Fede sucks.
I guarantee you we'll get a Discord message about that come Sunday.
I mean, Pittsburgh sucks too, so whatever, but I don't know, man.
Drew Rasmussen's a yes. Jacob DeGrom's a yes. Scherzer versus the Yankees versus the Angels.
Yeah, I would do it. Yep.
Gossman the same? Yes.
Yep.
Yep. And then Trevor Williams versus Detroit versus Boston.
No.
Yeah, no. Not happening there.
Never Trevor.
Just want to check one more thing out for people. I want to shout out, though, according to your starting pitching planner, Trevor Rogers has the second best schedule right now.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I let off with the – well, I let off because he's Baltimore's our first team. But, yeah, it's a good schedule.
It's so funny. It goes back to the conversation we had a few weeks ago. It's almost all lefties for like the first 20 people.
There's some bad hitting teams against lefties.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right. I think we hit, I know I have a start question in here. Your thoughts, we kind of looked past it, but Michael says, who is piggybacking Ohtani, if not Kasperius? It seems like Wrubleski. Is that where you would lean?
Wrubleski would be the other option. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I just want to throw that out there. And yep, Woody, that'll do it.
Woody, this weekend, would you play Eflin versus the Rays or Bailey Ober at Detroit?
Oh.
Or there's a third option. Would you keep them on the bench going forward?
I'd start Eflin.
I would start, if I had to pick one, I'd start Ober, actually.
Yeah. It's either Eflin or all on the bench for me. Ober is still not Ober's got to prove himself to me right now.
I mean, Ober did have 7 Ks, no walks his last.
How many runs?
I know. He gives up homers. I get it.
Yeah. What was that ERA that counts as a stat we look at?
Yeah. Good whip. I was fighting people off. Oh, I saw that. Yeah. He had a 1 whip and 7 Ks, man. Yep. That's good.
Isn't it 7 runs that went with that?
If I remember correctly? You know. Who's counting? Who's counting?
No wins because of that? So, yeah.
Yeah, Woody, sorry we don't have consensus there. I'd probably go neither, but if I had to pick one, I'd go Ober.
If you want a consensus, I'd say neither, man. That's where the consensus would lie.
Yeah.
All righty. Any final thoughts on that one as we wrap up week 15 Fab?
Is Phil Maton a spec? Did we answer that one? Am I losing my mind?
No, we did not.
Michael C. I don't think so. I think Helsley has a long leash. He's been good for a while, but yeah.
It's been rocky for him of late, but I think it's his gig for a while. Like Maton would probably be the guy.
Agreed.
He's been the late inning arm, but I think Helsley's going to have to do a lot more screwing up to affect that one.
Yep. Yep. All right. Let's get out of here.
All right. You guys enjoy your weekend. Have some fun doing whatever you guys are up to. As you round out the month of June, we head into July. We have 4th of July next week. We'll be with you guys for 2 episodes as usual. So don't you worry about that. And see how it goes. Good luck fabbing this weekend. Until then, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm Matt BD Intrick, and this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 255. Catch you all next time.